news according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Luke 17, verses 1 to 10. And he said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea, than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and recline at table'? Will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink'? Does he thank the servant because he did what he was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Thank you. You know, I know that sin carries consequences because I've learned that through experience. But honestly, I don't like hearing about the consequences of my sin and selfishness. I just don't find it pleasant. But that's what Jesus is talking about here at the beginning of Luke 17. He makes some sharp comments regarding my behavior and yours, and our influence upon others, and the consequences. He's talking to his disciples, which means he's talking to you and me. So what's his point? You know, I grew up in a military community, close to what's now called Joint Base Lewis-McChord, near Tacoma. A lot of my classmates were the children of military personnel. And during the Vietnam War, I had friends whose fathers were fighting in Southeast Asia. That was the case with a fifth grade classmate of mine named Paul. Paul had two brothers. His dad was gone, and I'm sure his mom was overextended. I only went to school with Paul for a year and a half. It was typical that military kids moved a lot. But I remember Paul pretty well, mostly because he was always in trouble, and I didn't like him. I remember one rainy winter day, it was too wet to go outside, so we had physical education class in the gym. And there were 50 or 60 fifth graders in two classes at Park Lodge Elementary School. And we were all crowded into the gym, split into two groups to take turns running relay races from one end of the gym floor to the other. I was in the same group as Paul. So while it was the other group's turn to run, I was standing on the sideline next to Paul when he looked at me and said, "Watch this." And as one of our classmates ran past us, just a few feet away, Paul quickly stuck out his leg and the kid went flying. And I thought it was hilarious. But what happened next was even better. Paul got in trouble. Huge trouble. I remember our teacher, Mr. Dunlap, screaming at Paul. And I was absolutely delighted. This was the highest and best form of entertainment possible.
And as Mr. Dunlap laid into Paul, you know what I was thinking. I thought, that Paul, what an idiot. I'd never do anything like that. I'm not that stupid. You know, I tell that story because in our gospel lesson today, the disciples of Jesus had the same attitude that I had toward my classmate Paul. Jesus had just addressed the Pharisees, the people who opposed him, and he told them the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. We read it last week. Lazarus was desperately poor and sick, and he died, and he went to heaven, where he was comforted by the great Jewish patriarch Abraham. The rich man died and went to hell because he had no faith in God, but instead trusted in his riches. So Jesus was speaking directly to the Pharisees, who Luke described as men who loved money. And as he told them the parable of Lazarus and the rich man to the Pharisees, his own disciples were also there and listening. And his own disciples quickly caught on that the parable was a rebuke of the Pharisees. And that made the disciples of Jesus absolutely delighted. They gloated. How could the Pharisees be that stupid? How could they be so steeped in sin? We're not like that. But then, when Jesus finished with the Pharisees, he turned to his disciples. And we just read what Jesus said, starting with Luke 17, verse 1. He warned his disciples that as his representatives, their obligation to the law was even greater than the Pharisees, because people are watching them. And if they cause another to sin, the consequences are dire. It would be better to have a heavy millstone tied around your neck and you be thrown into the sea. Not only that, you disciples of Jesus, you've been given an outrageous standard when it comes to forgiveness. Jesus said, when offended, forgive. If it happens again, forgive. Forgive and forgive and forgive again. Forgive anything. Forgive everything. The problem is nobody does that. Is it even humanly possible? Well, then give us more faith, the disciples cried. You have enough faith. All you need is a trace. With faith the size of a mustard seed, you could command this mulberry tree to be uprooted, Jesus said. The issue isn't a lack of faith. It's your refusal to obey, your hardness of heart. And by the way, do what you've been instructed to do, and don't expect to be thanked. This is your obligation. So what's the point Jesus is trying to make? The point is, you're no better than anyone else, disciples of Jesus. So lay off those Pharisees. In fact, lay off those people who vote differently than you vote. In fact, be compassionate to people who have too many tattoos. Be compassionate to those who need a tattoo. Be kind, even to those pot-smoking neighbors across the street. And forgive. Forgive, forgive, forgive. Even the stuff that happened years ago. Forgive. Forgive all your exes down in Texas. Forgive your ex-spouse, your ex-friends, your former boss. Forgive the people who mocked you. Forgive those who hurt you. Forgive. That's the law message from today's reading from Luke. Ouch. That's a tough message. So what's the gospel message? The gospel message today is especially important for you who have caused others to sin. The very thing Jesus warned about. And often the people you've hurt the most and caused to sin are the people you love best. And today's gospel message is for people who've been offended. You who've been hurt by others. And it's also for people with a lot of secrets. For people who are filled with shame. And for people who are disappointed with how things turned out in their lives. Or for people who fear that things will not turn out well in the future. Today's gospel message is also for people who have been called to forgive, who know that they've been called to forgive, who maybe even like the idea of forgiving, but just can't bring themselves to let go of their anger. It's for people who weep over their transgressions and cry out for mercy. But today's gospel message is not an exhortation to try harder and do better. Because that's not a gospel message at all. Today's gospel message is this. Though your sins are scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Isaiah 1, verse 18. Jesus Christ has died to atone for your sin. You're covered up and wrapped in His robes of righteousness. Isaiah 61, 10. The gospel message is that despite all your shortcomings and failures, you who cling to Christ are completely forgiven. And you're loved unconditionally. And you are accepted eternally. God will never leave you or forsake you. And there are better days ahead for you. You can be 100% sure of it. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, those of us who have been forgiven so much are called to forgive ourselves, to forgive others ourselves. And that's a difficult assignment. Lord, it seems sometimes that our lives are steeped in failure when it comes to doing what you have called us to do. Lord, pour your mercy down upon us. Change our hearts, but pour your mercy down upon us. And help us to revel in your acceptance and love for us, despite ourselves. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.